The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia, Mike Carver, Brian Ciano in for Scotty Farrell on vacation this week. Of course, we have Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved as we get hour number two going now. We'll do some NFL this hour. We've got three Turkey Day games coming up, some interesting ones. A couple weeks ago, it did not seem like the afternoon games would have any juice whatsoever, Mafia. But now we do have a little juice with this WFT, the Washington football team, taking on the star, the Dallas Cowboys, in the 4:30 Eastern game. That game now has a lot of significance as the Seattle Sounders, Mafia squad, get the scarf out, Mafia. Here we go. The Sounders take a 1-0 lead on LAFC here in this big, big Western Conference first-round game in the MLS playoffs. There you go, Ma.
There you go. Let's go. Well, down with LAFC. They're always trying to buy players. Forget them. Take them down.
Sounders with the lead here. So we do have a full slate of Turkey Day games we're going to have to get into. There's a bunch of other things going on throughout the NFL. And, you know, Ma, that line has moved like so much, and this will be like our little precursor here. Like, it was 1.5, it got up to 3.5. Now it's back down to the Cowboys minus 2.5. That should be a very interesting game in the middle game on Thursday.
Nah, not really though.
No.
Yeah, it has some meaning to it, but like honestly, whoever wins that division is going out the first game. Like, is anyone really taking seriously that division race and saying like, oh well, it really matters? No, it just matters, you know, like what team's going to be the worst and get the best pick in that division. Really, whoever wins it is getting smoked the first week.
And MLS After Dark is happening seconds after the Seattle goal. LA pushes on the other end. Seattle brings the guy at Vila down in the box. A penalty kick for LAFC. How about that? Carver High and Mafia in for
terrible
Scotty.
Call.
Farrell on the bench. Get hour number two rolling good. Here we go right after this.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. And by the way, Mafia, I know you were very interested in it. LAFC missed that penalty kick. Vila shot it right at the guy. It was one of the worst penalty kick attempts I have ever seen in the history of soccer. It was just a really poor effort by him. So we move on. Your Sounders up 1-0 over the LA Football Club. To the NFL we go now, Mafia. And three games on Thanksgiving. This will be like our first little dive into them. Tomorrow night we'll get into it a little bit more. But the Lions and the Texans, that's tough. I mean, in the early game, you know, in Thanksgiving's past, Mafia, usually you're kind of bouncing around, maybe, you know, like a situation like me, you're like, I'm hitting my wife's parents' house, I'm hitting my parents' house, or I'm coming home. And usually that first game with the Lions is the one where, like, you try to plan all your, like, traveling around. Like, I got to make sure that I get to where I want to be for the other games. The Lions, like, they're usually kind of spunky in this game, Mafia. Like, they don't always win. They get points a lot at home on this game, and they usually show up and give you a big effort on Thanksgiving. Now, could be a different feel without fans in the building, things like that. But do you think that the Lions, who are spunky at home on this date, will be in the mix with the Texans, who are coming off a win over the Patriots on Sunday?
You know, it's so hard to tell because they're a team that usually puts up points, like you said, not just on Thanksgivings, but this year they put up a bunch of points. And they're a team that's in games. They lose tight games, but they're in it. And then they play Carolina, who's a mediocre team, same kind of record as them, and they get shut out. And last week, so I'm like, what's going on with this team? Like, I know they're getting Swift back, so that's going to help them. Well, at least he was practicing, so hopefully he's back for Thursday. And that'll help them, you know, because instead of having an old AP out there, they might have a little more, you know, step in the backfield, a little more liveliness behind Stafford. But I mean, after the performance they put on last week, I'm not feeling good about them. I feel like the Texans are starting to, you know, play a lot better than they did earlier in the season. Now they got some of their receivers back. They're opening things up a little more on offense, and that gives the defense a little more leeway to pin the ears back and just let them rip. So it might be, you know, an okay game, but I think the Texans are going to win, and I don't think it's going to be, you know, within 4 or 5 points. I think it might be a touchdown or more game.
I think the Lions are kind of getting to that point in this season like they were last year. Like last year, it seemed like they hung around for the first couple of months. Things were kind of even. You know, they were around 500. Are they a playoff team? Are they not? And then like the last like 6 or 7 weeks of the season, they completely went in the tank and they didn't win another game the rest of the year. And Patricia almost got fired, but he ends up coming back for this year. I feel like that loss to Carolina on Sunday, where they just didn't even show up, getting shut out down in Carolina, who had P.J. Walker playing quarterback. I was in on P.J. I thought that that was going to be a good start for him, and it was. But that could be the start. A game like that, losing in Carolina, could be the start of the Lions season. Like last year, just kind of, you know, going in the tank for the rest of the year, and then they'll have a whole new regime there next year. It's crazy.
Well, especially because, like you said, last year there was, you know, a situation where Patricia almost got fired. Coming to this year, he was on the hot seat, and it was all about, you know, like, especially when they started losing the first couple of games, it's, well, when are they going to fire him? You know, how can you continue this? They should fire him. Why wait? Just fire him. Then they started winning, and they're like, all right, well, maybe he's finally figured it out. Maybe the team's good. Now they started going back on the slide. You know it's in the back of the heads of those players, like, dude, this guy's not going to be here last year, you know, next year. I don't have to worry about him. I don't have to play hard for him. And, you know, they might start giving it up a little bit because, you know, the season's over. The coach is going to get the boot. So why are you going to get yourself hurt, you know, just trying to bust it for this guy?
No, it's true. And in games like this where both teams kind of stink, I like to lean towards the better quarterback. Not that Stafford's awful, but I think I'd rather back Watson. Even as bad as the Texans have been this year, I'd rather back Watson as a road favorite here in Detroit on Thanksgiving. And here's the other thing I like, Mafia, the over. Because Scotty says it all the time, and it's usually true. When you get two bad teams like this in a national game type of spot, they usually score a lot of points. So I think Detroit can hang around in this game. I think that they can both get into the high 20s, go over that 51.5, low 30s. So there could be some fireworks in that game. We mentioned the WFT, the Washington football team in Dallas. It is a big game. It's ugly because they're both 3-7, but it is an important game. The winner of this game gets to 4. I was telling you last night that I think the Cowboys can win this division now. They have the schedule, especially if they win this game, play like they did against Minnesota. They can win this division. And Washington, with Alex Smith now at the helm, played better last week. They were playing Cincinnati, who stinks. I like the Cowboys to keep going. And this is also pretty 46.5. Could be another spot where maybe we get some points. So the Washington Football Club and the Dallas Cowboys, -2.5 for the Cowboys right now. And I'm still been looking at that line.
I think that's
going
to be as high scoring as you think, though, Mike. I think that one might be one where it's a little tougher because – you know, we know that Dallas can score, obviously. They have a ton of weapons. Dalton played well last week. We know that's, you know, how things are. But even though I know Alex Smith is playing decent on offense and they're getting them going a little bit more, but both those teams, A, Washington has a good, you know, solid defense. They've let up at times and letting some teams score. But I think that this is going to be a much tougher game on the short week than it would have been if it was maybe Sunday or Monday. I think that these teams are going to, you know, kind of slug it out a little bit. It might be a lot more of a running contest, especially after we saw Zeke and Pollard really start to find their way last week. I think we have a chance. I mean, it's a low number, so it's an iffy one. But I think being on the short week with some tough defensive play, as we've seen from these teams over the last couple of weeks, that we have a chance at an under there.
Yeah, maybe. And they played an under in Washington a few weeks ago. That was the game where the Washington football team really dominated the game. Cowboys couldn't do anything. I think that they're a little bit better in this spot. The third game is of course, the big game of the night, if they play it. Now, I think they're going to. The NFL just continues to just push the COVID situation to where they're going to tell the teams, fill the slots. Now, if they get a bunch more positive COVID tests tomorrow, I really don't see how they could play the game, but it seems like they're going to press forward here and have the Ravens play the Steelers. It's now gone to 5.5, Mafia. And it's been shooting up every day that more positive COVID tests come out for the Ravens. But I got to tell you, even without the running backs, I still think that this is a tight game. I'm not saying the Ravens win, but the more points you want to start giving me in a series where, and a rivalry where, these two teams always play close games. Every single year, both games, they're close. You saw it a few weeks ago in Baltimore. You want to keep giving me points with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and how tight this game could be? I'm going to keep taking them, Mafia.
I'm not. I'm rolling Steelers all the way on this one. Even if you had both those backs in there, the way that Baltimore's playing, I'm rolling Steelers. I think they're the better team. And we even saw that, you know, when they played the first time where, sure, they hung around for a while, and then it got to the late stages of the game, and the Steelers just pulled away. The Ravens just aren't on the same level right now. They got guys here on the defensive end, on the defensive side. They got, you know, their offense just not clicking. It's the same as we've talked about before. You get up on them and they have to start throwing the ball. They don't have that. You know, Hollywood Brown was great in college. They have not utilized him in the pros. Andrews is a tough, you know, good tight end, but he's not the type of tight end you can, you know, tear a defense apart with like Kelsey or, you know, some of these other guys. this is just not the way this team is built. And with the way that the Steelers are high flying right now, Claypool is scoring every week, which I know you love as a Notre Dame guy. I just don't see them sticking with them. You know, maybe it's tight in the beginning. Maybe it's tough for them to score some points. And at some point, they're going to open it up and tear them apart, because I just don't think that they are on the same level this year with Lamar Jackson just not playing as good. And the team around him not helping him out nearly as much either. I think it's a game where the Steelers win by probably 10 to 14 points.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown is not a number one receiver. He's just not. And of all the moves that the Ravens made in the offseason, there were number one receivers available. Whether it be DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, they were there to be had. The Ravens didn't add one. Brown is not it. He needs other guys to not have the top corners going against him. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia. We're in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep it rolling right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. The number to get involved going through some of these NFL games coming up on Thursday and a little bit more throughout the league this weekend. Here's how, and we kind of started this at the end of the show last night, Mafia, and I'm going to get silly with these games on Thursday, because I got to have some fun. I mean, it's Thanksgiving Day. I need to entertain myself as much as I possibly can, and can't go anywhere, things like that. So FanDuel has that boost, I think I mentioned it to you, to take the three favorites basically on the money line, and they boosted it to plus 400, so 4-1. And that's for the Texans, the Cowboys, and the Steelers to all win. I like that. I think that that's fun, and it's a decent way to play it. Does it always turn out that way? No, but that's why you roll the dice. So I think I'm going to play that boost. But I'm also going to play the three dogs together in a teaser. So I'm going to try, Mafia, to middle this thing where I've got the three favorites money line to win in that odds boost parlay. And then we take the Lions +9, Washington +8.5, and the Ravens +11.5. And we put that in a tease with the dogs. We have the money line for the favorites. Let's try to win them both, Mafia. Let's have some fun on Turkey Day.
Man, you're really trying to give yourself something to be really thankful for or really not thankful for, man. That's chasing the dragon right in there, trying to play both sides of it and, you know, twist this day and that way. Man, that's too much excitement for me. I got to just have what I have and just ride it that way, not try to play it both and get right in the middle. You know, you take that needle right there before it explodes.
Look, I normally play these games straight up. I try not to get involved in the craziness like that. But for the holiday, maybe I'll just try. And we had a good weekend. Things went really well, having Carolina and the Cowboys and the Rams and things like that. So, instead of trying to build off of that, let's just take all the winnings and let's throw it away on two crazy bets like this to enjoy myself on the Thanksgiving holiday. So, and Hollywood Brown, Mafia, just for you, plus 360 anytime touchdown for the Ravens on Thursday night. I may play it on principle now, just because we have bashed him for the past couple of days. We'll get on Hollywood Brown.
I'm not playing Hollywood Brown anytime touchdown if it's for the rest of the season right now. You can't trust it.
Couple of games we'll go through fast here. Arizona going to New England, -2.5, road favorite. Patriots, of course, lose in Houston. Arizona coming off of the Thursday night game against Seattle. I feel like, Mafia, that Arizona should be favored by more, right? I mean, do you kind of feel that way with me? Even though they're on the road, you know, there's no fans. It's going to East Coast, but they've played well there. They played a 1 o'clock East game against the Jets and beat them up. I know it's the Jets, but I don't know. It seems like they should be favored by more against New England.
I'm with you 100%. I think they're a much better team right now. New England seems to be in shambles. They just are now, you know, not even not anywhere near what they were with, you know, Brady and all the years of the dynasty. They're not even where they were at the beginning of the season. Like, the beginning of the season, you still had hope, and you still said, oh, well, you know what? It might not be as easy for the Bills to win the division as we thought. I mean, now they're going to walk away with it because, obviously, Miami's still in the mix and still a tough team out there. But New England is so terrible right now, and they just can't figure out what they're doing. I mean, they beat the Jets a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football, but they barely beat the Jets, who have no wins whatsoever. Cam went from, you know, comeback player of the year and sign this guy up before he's going to cost you $20 million to how long is that deal going for? You know, they have receivers banged up every week, and half of them you can't even name. Burkhead's hurt now, and he's out. You know, not that they ever have one stalwart running back, but there's just so many holes and issues with that team right now. I can't trust them. And Arizona's playing great. I'm surprised it's such a close spread.
Another game where you just brought up the word trust. And can you trust teams? I told you last night, I'm starting to buy in on the Raiders a little bit. Like, I want to buy in on them. They showed me something against Kansas City on Sunday night, even in a loss. They've shown me that they can kind of go on the road. You know, they won that game in Cleveland where the weather was kind of sloppy. But now they're in a spot that the Raiders are not in very often. Road favorite. East Coast, 1 o'clock in Atlanta. They are a 3-point favorite on the road. A different scenario than you normally have the Raiders in. Can you trust the Mafia with the -3 here against the Falcons?
Yeah, I think you can. I think that defense is making some plays. I think, you know, obviously Atlanta is always a dangerous team as far as covering, and I know that Gruden has his issues going east. But I think this Vegas team right now has, you know, hit a level that we haven't seen from them in a couple of years, where they are a legit team. They're not going to win that AFC, obviously. And, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but to me they're not, because it is the Steelers and the Chiefs and everybody else. And, you know, even though they had that win against the Chiefs early in the season, the Chiefs showed in the last game, like, listen, you're not beating us again. Like, it doesn't matter what you have, you know, how good you play. If we get the ball at the end of the game, you're losing it. Obviously, they were still in that game and it was tight and they made them work for it. So they can, you know, hang with them. I just don't think they could finish against those teams. But against a team like Atlanta, who's so, you know, terrible and banged up, and, you know, who knows what's going on with that team half the time, where Julio Jones comes in, you know, into the game and he's playing and then he's out for half the game, then he comes back, then he's out again. I mean, then they'd show that if they don't have him and, you know, some of their other top guys, it's going to be a struggle. Even with him, it's going to be a struggle. And I think that the Raiders have started to find themselves now and, you know, are giving themselves pretty much with the Bills and some of these other teams kind of, you know, sure footing on that second tier of the AFC.
And I'm looking at it now, and I can't recall a week where there were so many road favorites. There are just tons of road favorites this week, and maybe it's because Mafia, you know, the books and everybody else is finally starting to, you know, not really factor in home field advantage anymore. Like, it doesn't mean that much this year with no fans in most places, very limited fans in others. I mean, look at this. Houston, road favorite at Detroit on Thursday. You've got Arizona, a road favorite at New England. Cleveland, a road favorite at Jacksonville. Raiders, we just mentioned, road favorite in Atlanta. Miami, road favorite for the second week in a row at MetLife against the Jets. The Giants, of all teams, a road favorite in Cincinnati. The Saints, a road favorite in Denver. Kansas City, a road favorite in Tampa. Seattle, a road favorite in Philadelphia. Mafia, that's more than half the card of the NFL this week. Road favorites. What do you make of it?
I make of it just the way the matchups are. It's just how it is. I don't think it's so much about the, you know, home crowd or not home crowd, I just think the matchups that you have and where the teams are playing, it just shows, you know, except for a couple games like Tampa Bay's at home. You know, we know obviously that they are up and down, but the Chiefs are obviously the better team. You know, there's a couple of them, the Saints, you know, Broncos are tough, but Saints are the better team. So that's just the way it is. But if you look at most of these ones where you're talking about the road team being the favorite, it's just because they're playing some of the crappiest teams in the league. I mean, Philadelphia at home. Come on, I'll take, you know, 9 out of 10 teams against them at home. It doesn't matter. Home, road, whatever. You know, the Giants in Cincinnati, they just lost Burrow. I don't think if Burrow's there, you know, it might be a much different story. You might have Cincinnati still being the number one team. The Jets, you know, having won a single game, of course they're going to be underdogs even at home. There's just a lot of situations. The Falcons at home, the Jaguars at home, where pretty much the worst half of the league is at home somehow this week all at once, and that's why you have that situation.
What Tampa team do you think we're going to get on Sunday? And that is a marquee game. You know, that's the 4:25 game. Flip a coin, right? Are we getting the it's not a primetime game. Are we going to get the Tampa team that we saw last night or saw against the Bears or saw against the Saints? Are we going to get the one that destroyed the Packers at home in a similar game, a 4:25 home game? The Chiefs coming off Sunday night game on the road, back-to-back road games for the Chiefs here. What are we getting from Tampa? And they're going into a bye after this, very late bye. I think that was part of the schedule maneuvering earlier in the year, that Tampa and Carolina ended up with these really late byes after Thanksgiving. But very interesting to see what kind of Tampa Bay team we're going to get against the defending Super Bowl champs. It's hard to ever go against Mahomes. Like, I won't do it. I know that sometimes you want to stay away from who everybody in the public is on. Mahomes is one that I don't care. Like, I can back Mahomes. Now, it didn't work Sunday night. I get it. The Raiders ended up covering that game. But for the most part, Mafia, I don't mind backing Mahomes in any situation.
Yeah, you do that, you're going to win 9 games out of 10. I'm with you on that one. I think this game we're going to see, you know, one of the bad Tampa performances, because, you know, this is going to be a situation, I think, where they're going to be playing from behind. And even though they have a good defense, we know what Mahomes and that offense can do and how quickly they can put up points. I think they're going to get up, and they might even get up double digits. And, you know, if Jared Goff and the Rams can start putting it to Tampa and making them have to play from behind and throw the ball around them, what's going to happen with Kansas City? And we've seen now this year that despite all the weapons that they put, all these big names that everyone's talking about, how great the weapons are for Tom this year, they're just not performing up to snuff, and he's not performing up to snuff. And while I'm not going to say they have the same pass rush as LA, you know, I think that LA definitely has a better up front line and pass rush than Kansas City. When you're going to be playing from behind most of the game, and you can just pin the ears back and rush Tom and get in there and get the pressure, I think it's going to be an ugly game for him again.
And we'll get into tomorrow night pretty much every game, but Titans and Colts. The Colts can, like, really theoretically wrap up the AFC South. If they get a win over the Titans on Sunday, they'll have beaten them twice. Now, they were 1.5-point favorite in Nashville 2 weeks ago, and they're only 3.5-point favorite against them at home on Sunday. Might like the Titans getting that 3.5. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. We keep it rolling on a Tuesday night heading into Thanksgiving right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. There's a couple of things. The NBA Mafia is, like, finally starting to, like, slow down a little bit. Like, it was crazy last week. You had the draft. You had a whole bunch of trades. You had free agency open on Friday. And now you're kind of getting to the weird part about this is, unlike in most years where you have all that crazy activity in late June, early July, then you have to wait 3 months until the season actually starts. Now, I mean, teams are going to go to camp in like 10 days. Like, they're going to be starting open camp. So it's a little different in that aspect, but things have started to slow down a little bit here. The only thing, I guess, of significance today is that the Kings didn't match that Bogdanović offer sheet with the Hawks. So the Hawks mafia have now broken open the piggy bank, which they never do. And they've gotten Bogdanović and Gallinari and Rondo, and they've added all of these pieces to put around Young and Collins, and they traded for Capella during the year from the Rockets. People are going to be high on the Hawks, Moff, but I mean, really, are they any better even with these additions? What are they, the fifth best team in the East? Maybe the fourth? I don't know. Does it really? At least they're not in the cellar, I guess. Is that the deal? They spent some money, at least they'll play some playoff games?
I guess, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good pieces here. I don't know if it's any superstar ones, but I mean, do they really need to bring in superstar ones with what they have with Trae Young and Collins to begin with? You know, I think that for a team like that, you need more depth. You needed some veteran leadership, and I think they got that. I mean, I think they got a solid three, and if Capella could be healthy with Trae, Capella, and Collins, you know, they're not superstar talent in a lot of people's minds, or, you know, if so far what they've shown, besides maybe Young, but, you know, those guys can make that next step, and you have a lot of other young players on that team in Reddish, and, you know, some of these guys that you've brought in, it could be a situation where, you know, in a relatively weak East, as it's been for a long time, like, they can compete, they can be a four or five, and sometimes in the East, that's enough. You know, they could beat a Philly. They could jump over some of these other teams and get in the mix here. So it's going to be a lot better than they were in the past. It's going to be a situation where they're definitely a playoff team, and they might actually make noise in the first two, three rounds, I think.
I mean, I'll tell you, the books, I guess, don't seem to care about all these moves they've made. And like at FanDuel, I just looked. I mean, they're still seventh to win the Eastern Conference, and there is a gap. Like, you got the Bucks, the Nets, then the, like, that's like A tier in terms of the odds, plus 230, plus 270. Then you have the next tier, Celtics plus 550, then the Heat plus 700, Raptors plus 8, and then the Sixers plus 9. And then Mafia, it goes from the Sixers at 9-1 all the way down to the Hawks at 55-1. That is a monster gap between the Sixers and the Hawks. So it feels like, despite these moves, the books and everybody else kind of feels the Hawks are still, even with all that, the seventh best team maybe in the Eastern Conference. I don't know. Are they better than any of those six other teams? Maybe not.
Yeah, that seems like a slap in the face to me. I mean, I know that some of these teams have flashy names and, you know, this and that, but I mean, honestly, I'm done believing in Philadelphia. I don't care if Morey's there. I don't care if Doc's there. It's still the same team. You know, what changes did they make that make it a better team that can play together? Right. I didn't see that. You know, you still have Simmons and Embiid who either can't stay healthy or can't get it together. Are you really going to tell me that, I mean, Toronto, after what they've lost, I like that, you know, Van Vliet. I like Lowry, although Lowry's, you know, getting banged up a lot more now that he's getting older. I like, you know, some of the other players on that team, but Serge Ibaka was a good piece there, and you lost that. He's gone. You know, he's not a superstar, but he's one of your probably super subs. He's probably your sixth man, you know. Marc Gasol, yeah, he's pretty much done. I don't think he's going to be much of anything, even on the Lakers. I think he's just kind of come in there and spell AD for 10 minutes or so and give you all he has and then go back to the bench, just like Howard and McGee were. But he still was a big piece of that team. I mean, they've lost some big pieces from that squad. So can you really say that they're definitely better than the Hawks? I don't think so, especially not that much better, to the point of, you know, 1,700 better. The Heat, like you said, they had a nice run. It was probably helped out by the bubble. I don't know if they're going to be the same team. There's just a lot of, you know, those three teams above them, I can't say for sure, are leaps and bounds better than the Hawks are going to be after what they've done.
And the other side of that, and I, listen, the Kings never matter. Like, the Kings never matter, but, like, what are they doing? Like, not even, like, matching or not even trying to find a way to get something for, like, I don't know. The Kings, like, they haven't made the playoffs, and I think I saw it 14 years. Bogdanović is a good player. He's a piece. Like, I don't know. You just drafted Haliburton. Like, what the Kings are like? They baffle you. How could you be a fan of that team? I guess it's kind of like Mafia being a fan of the Knicks in the East, right? Like, it just seems like the wheels always spin, and they never get you anywhere. How could you be a Kings fan today, watching that guy leave for nothing?
Oh, it's even worse than being a Knicks fan, I feel like. I mean, obviously, it's a smaller team. It's a yeah. smaller market, so you can't say, oh, well, New York's supposed to be good.
Knicks have
Well, not
some
even
history.
That. Like, the Sacramento Kings have had star players. They have guys you can get by. I'm like, man, this guy's legit. You know, this guy is an all-star. And then, you know, whether it's they got rid of Cousins because, you know, they just didn't see eye to eye at the end, or, you know, they're giving Max Deals a Buddy Hield. He's a great player. Like, they've had pieces that you're like, listen, this is something to build around. The Knicks, for the longest time, have had nothing. You know, they have brought in guys who are too old, or they paid too much, or, you know, they just weren't as good as they thought they were, like guys like Hardaway, or, you know, they had problems with Porzingis. They had some, you know, players that were younger and on the way to stardom maybe, but have not gotten to the point of a Boogie Cousins or a Buddy Hield who are legit players that they just can't seem to build around.
Yeah, and all the you know, the quote cap experts around the league saying that the Kings could have easily matched the deal. Like they could have matched it. They had the cap space to do it. They had the financials to be able to do it. So really a bad job by them. I don't think I've talked to you about the Knicks. Like the Knicks, everybody last week when you were out was really hot on them getting Westbrook. Like they thought that was going to be the deal. And then they were hot on getting, you know, Van Vliet and getting Gordon Hayward. And it was like, the Knicks are back. Like, let's go. You know, it's, you know, 4 seed in the East. Like it's all happening. And now you sit here a week later. And as great as the draft pick is, I loved Toppin. Scotty loved it last week. He was going nuts when they took Obi Toppin. You're still kind of left with Toppin, RJ Barrett, Robinson, and like, wait again until next year and hope that somebody is willing to come here. It's like that the Knicks are in the same spot it seems like they're always in.
Oh, come on. Austin Rivers isn't a huge signing for you.
Austin. I mean, forgot about Austin.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Obi Toppin side draft pick. I thought that was incredible that they got him. You know, I was kind of sitting there in my mini moon and, you know, watching. I wasn't like watching the draft, but, you know, I have the alerts on my phone always, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, you know, being a guy that's in the media.
You didn't completely unplug then. You didn't completely unplug for the whole week.
No, not completely.
At some point,
you gotta have the phone. When do you ever get rid of the phone? Come on, it's your lifeline in these days. So, you know, I was getting alerts about who was doing what, and when I saw that they had top, I'm like, are you kidding me? How is he still available? I mean, this is a guy people were talking about at, you know, 2, 3, sometimes even as a top pick, and somehow he falls to the Knicks. You know, as a team, you love to talk about how, you know, if there's 5 good players, the Knicks will draft 6. You know, drafting 8, like, all right, there's really gonna be no one left there, and they get this guy. I thought that was an awesome pick for them. I loved it. But like you said, you know, this is a team that has some nice pieces. They need the veteran leadership. They need the guy to, you know, bring them over the top. They need that extra player. And I guess that's what Charlotte thought they did in Hayward. I thought they completely overpaid for him. I thought he would have been, you know, a nice piece for the Knicks if they could get him for $20-25 million. I think he's getting way too much in Charlotte for, you know, a guy who can't stay healthy. But just so much of this is just pipe dreams for the Knicks fans. Always, it's like, oh, well, there's a big name available. Well, you know what? It's New York. He wants to come play in New York.
Yeah.
No, they don't right now. Whatever's going on, whether it's the ownership, whether it's their history of losing for the last 20 years, whether it's, you know, the pressure, or they just like better situations in other cities, whatever it is, you know, these guys are staying other places. The only way you're going to bring these guys in is through trade. And a guy like Chris Paul, who they're talking about trading for, gets traded to Phoenix. Or, you know, Westbrook hasn't been moved yet, but it's going to take a King's ransom to get guys like that. And then you're stuck with those contracts. It's just an ugly situation for them once again, where the fans get excited about who might be available and who might come to this team, and none of them do. And you know, you're back to, well, maybe we could stink next year and, you know, get a great draft pick and draft Cade Cunningham, number one. And it's like, okay, but when do draft picks, you know, add up to a winning team? Because they haven't yet.
Process. The process. You got to just.
Yeah.
And it's always.
Yeah, that franchise that still hasn't lived up to it.
Yeah, and they're always selling you the free agent 2 years from now, or, you know, this guy's going to want to come here. Like, this is going to happen. Like, I already saw this the other day. I forget who said it. But it was, well, if things go wrong in L.A. this year for the Clippers, Kawhi and George are going to be able to get out of their deals, and the Knicks are going to have all this space, you know, to swoop in and be involved in Kawhi again. Like, Moff, we have heard this a billion times. Like, the first time when LeBron did the dopey decision, like, everyone's like, he's going to be in on the Knicks. The second time with LeBron, he's going to be in on the Knicks. We've seen it with a couple of other big free agents. He's going to be in on the Knicks. Nobody's ever in on the Knicks. Like Durant and Kyrie last year, he's going to be in on the Knicks. Never happened. So to sit around with all that space and hopes and dreams and hope that it can happen, I guess they're going to sell me that Giannis too, right? If Giannis doesn't sign in Milwaukee.
Of course.
Is he going to want to come to the Knicks and play at the Garden also, Mafia? Like, eventually you have to get a player, right? Eventually somebody's got to come to you, and trade's usually the only way to get it.
And it's not only like, oh, well, they're going to come to the Knicks, or they want to be involved in the Knicks, they want to play in New York. Or it's always like, oh, well, let's bring in Fizdale because players love him and that's going to bring guys in. Or let's bring in Phil Jackson because all the years that he was a champion is going to bring players in and let them know the franchise is in good hands and legit. Or this guy, and now it's Leon Rose. Like, it's always, well, this guy is going to lead to X, and it never does. You know, I was talking about like not just with Leon Rose too, and oh, let's bring in Calipari because all these players love Cal from his years in in college, and just nothing, none of this comes to fruition from them. It doesn't matter which guy you bring in, it doesn't matter what money you offer. For some reason, they can't get anything to go their way.
No, it is amazing. It really is, and I hope that Toppin's good, because if Toppin's really good, if RJ Barrett's really good, you know, you're finally starting to get somewhere, because they even a lot of these draft picks, and you're right, I say it all the time because it's been true, the best player seems to always go like the pick right before him. Like it really does work out that way. Maybe finally the Obi Toppin pick will be the one that kind of breaks that little string of bad luck for the Knickerbockers. But other than that, it looks like we're kind of ready for the NBA to get going in like 10 days, 11 days. They'll start to get camps cooking. And they'll play a couple preseason games. And Mafia, I think we're actually December 22nd, right? So
yes,
we're less than a month. Like, it's the 24th today. We are less than a month to when they will get the NBA going again. And that is a quick turnaround. Now that it's actually here, it does feel like a quick turnaround. It really does. So I guess we're ready for it, because like we said, weeknights have been a little scarce. And we could use a full slate of NBA. And these teams that have been sitting around since March that weren't in the bubble, they got to be dying to play too, Moff.
Yeah, less than a month till the Lakers start their quest for a repeat. And we just hand them the trophy like we used to do the Warriors, because their team, like the Warriors did, you know, has just gotten better. While everyone else made some nice little pity moves that just don't add up to what the Lakers have.
The Clay injury bothers me so much. I wanted them to go on the revenge tour and go after the Lakers this year. I wanted it to happen so badly. I'm just crushed that it's not going to happen. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. We wrap it up right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. LAFC, still, we got Vila here. They just started the second half. Sounders up 1-0. Big first round MLS Cup matchup in the Western Conference. As LAFC with a corner here, they have had a couple of good chances. They missed a penalty kick, as we know Vila did earlier on in this game. So we'll see if LAFC can get things going. We had the first college football playoff rankings tonight. Top four, kind of what we expected. They still love their big teams with two losses, like Georgia, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. They buried BYU at 14. They buried the Pac-12 down at 15 and 18. So all in all, Mafia, it's light in terms of games, but we did have some action with that college football playoff here tonight.
Yeah, of course. And you're always going to do that. You know, whenever you get those rankings, like you said, especially with how few people, how few teams are involved in this, there's going to be those, people calling in that are upset because their team's not the one that's there. You know, their team got jumped by some team that doesn't deserve it. And that's just the way things go. And, it's always a hot topic.
Yeah, and BYU definitely will be over the next couple of days. I'm interested to see if they can get a game in with somebody. The coach, once again, on that broadcast on ESPN, kind of trying to make it out like, oh, no, we do want to play somebody. Well, I hope they do step up and play somebody in the next couple of weeks. It won't help them, but at least it'd be interesting to see BYU play somebody besides Nassau Community College. All right, so good job, Mafia. Fun stuff. Again, as always, we've got one more for you, me and Mafia. Tomorrow night, before Turkey Day, we will get through all the games, college and pro, that are going to happen between Thursday and Sunday. A lot to get to tomorrow night on the bench. Looking forward to it. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Sports Rage Late Night with Morenci coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.